I'm Dan Nicasso with the Honolulu Advertiser, and we're talking to Wes Ka'iwinui, Director of Cultural Affairs for the Festival Company. Good afternoon.
Aloha.
Yours is a new position.
Yes, it is.
And tell me how it came to be and how you think you got selected for it.
I think it came to be solely through, of course, Amakua, which is from which we seek our knowledge, our spiritual knowledge. Amakua has tied me to the right people at the right time, focusing my attentions on architecture early in my life, and then Lua later. And what that done has, it has established a good balance in my life, knowing the Western way of doing things, and of course the Hawaiian way of doing things. I firmly believe that Kamehameha Schools and Festival saw that above anything else, that there was a balance there. And balance is always a good thing for any organization.
Yeah, I want to hear a lot about your job. What is your understanding of what the job description is, mm-hmm. and what would that mean for lay people and visitors and local people?
Yeah, because this area is called Helumoa, that area has a legacy tied to Ke'ali'i Pauahi, which is the benefactor of the Kamehameha Schools. The Kamehameha Schools and Festival are making every effort possible to reinvigorate and be an integral part of the Hawaiian Renaissance, to welcome back our local and Hawaiian communities back to Helamoa is befitting, simply because Waikiki in totality was an area reserved solely for the chiefs, where chiefs learned leadership, strategy, and healing. And that also ties into the Kamehameha School's mission in education and leadership. So it all boils down to leadership.
Mm-hmm. And your role would be to help kind of shape programs as well as actual physical design?
Correct. Well, we here at Festival are because this is a different environment than the mainland U.S., not only do I take care of the cultural programs, which we're going to augment on top of the programs that we already have, but aloha and namea ho'okipo, or hospitality, extends from within to without. So we need to take care of our management team, our staff, and make sure that everything and everyone is working like a well-oiled machine, because how can you share aloha if you do not have aloha inside of you? You need it inside before you even begin to comprehend to share it and or sell it to our guests.
So you're training staff, or is training even the right word?
Well, I don't like training because I'm not qualified to call myself a teacher of any sort, but merely sharing a different way of looking at things. I think we have a different way of doing things here in Hawaii, and it's very special and unique. Mm-hmm. We need to hold on to that.
Can you give me some for instances of examples of sharing, or of some of the programs that are currently going on that you would like to maybe change or shape in a different direction?
All of our programs running right now, our guests love it. I mean, we're packed. Mm-hmm. They're free programs.
At the
shopping center. They're free. Mm-hmm. The common question I get is, why is it free? People want to know, why are we offering this? And at the end of the day,
why is it free?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's not really free, because we're educating people of what the Native Hawaiian is. Mm-hmm. And in light of our current challenges within the Native Hawaiian community with Congress and or the federal government, it's important that we educate in a positive way what the indigenous culture is. Mm-hmm. And if we can share that with people, it's better than buying a handbag, because mm-hmm. handbags and clothes deteriorate, but memories never do. And I think if we share the true aloha spirit, share the face of heaven, which is what aloha means, it's unforgettable. And I firmly believe that, as I said before, it extends from within and then goes to without. So that's
who asks you, why is it free? Is it the...
Oh, our guest. our guests always they're nervous because they're looking at their pocketbooks and they want to know
what's the catch.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Interesting. Are there programs you would like to see additional ones or ones that are maybe examples of something that maybe we want to get a little closer to the?
Well, I can't discuss in detail what specifically those programs are, but I will say this: when you ask someone about Hawaiian culture or Hawaiian people, usually the comments are they range from great hula dancers to Hawaiian food to even maybe something as shallow as somewhat fat or lazy or these stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
The programs that we are going to begin go over the fact that Hawaiians went from Tahiti to Hawaii with no navigational tools whatsoever, at least the Western sense.
Right.
So we're expert navigators. We were expert orators. Our culture is oratory. We did not have to write things down on paper. We memorized thousands of years of genealogy. We were master clothes makers, kapa. Our kapa is one of the finest in Polynesia. We were expert lua. I like to say that when Kamehameha conquered the islands, he didn't send out a hula dancer, he sent out warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So we were, there's warriorship in Hawaiian culture. And that doesn't mean, the warrior would go out and hurt someone physically. But let's face it, no matter what culture you're in or what environment you're in and what job you're doing, it's strategic warfare per se. Not in a negative way. You could use warfare in a positive way. So that's something that we learn in Lua and that I would love to bring back to Waikiki because, as I said, this was the birthplace of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you made references to Lua and you said you can't reveal everything. What can you share with us about?
I can share that I have great mentors who are called Olohe. They're like the status of a kumuhula. A lot of people do not know what Lua is. Lua has been underground for hundreds of years. Recently, the Olohe have put out a book, which is why I can share this and only so much with you now. There are strict protocol in Lua, and there's ways in which you can express warriorship. I hope that I don't want to get too deep into it. Unless you ask me a specific question.
Well, no, I don't want to impose.
Yeah.
I just You said you could share some, but not all. So
yeah.
I just thought I'd ask you open-ended question. But what I'm getting at is, does that mean, for instance, some of the programs I saw, ukulele and hula and quilt making, things that are more sort of relatively modern cultural aspects of Hawaiian culture. Do you want to get farther back and, as you said, to the original? Arrival and sort of share those kinds of experiences. Is that in addition to the ukulele or not instead of?
Right. I mean, well, even though whatever program that we have currently or in the future, there are more modern expressions of Hawaiian culture.
Mm-hmm.
If you really look at the root of them, it's what did the Hawaiian do with the things that were brought here? The ukulele is not a native Hawaiian instrument, and the Portuguese brought it. But what did the Hawaiian do with the ukulele and or the guitar, let's say? Maikaiai, made it better, right? We took ukulele in its raw form, stripped it down or stripped it up, doesn't matter, and we made it better, at least in our eyes. Slack key guitar, we didn't have a bass, slack key, we slack the keys. So that is something that is more Hawaiian than anything, and not so much the activity itself, but let's say, or another example would be kapa, one of the finest makers of kapa. Now we have quilting. Our quilts run anywhere from, $500 to thousands and thousands of dollars. So no matter what the activity and what we do, we strive for excellence. And in Lua, I'll go back to Lua again, there's a difference between perfection and excellence. Hawaiian culture is bent on excellence. You cannot attain perfection. It is impossible. Hmm. What we do demand, however, is excellence. And I think you'll find that in a lot of our programs and the programs that we're going to have in addition to the ones we have now.
And is it? Are you hoping that the messages or the experience will spread as well to local residents?
Yeah. Of course. I mean, bringing our native Hawaiian and local back, locals back, is key to having a successful mix here at the Royal Hawaiian. But in order to do that, we have to augment our programs, because a lot of our native Hawaiians may be well versed already in ukulele, or lei making, mm-hmm. or quilting, even our locals. So what is it about our culture that we can share respectfully and with dignity that will educate them? Let's say, for example, there was a navigational program, mm-hmm. one that taught of the stars. Now, me in training of that, I personally don't know that yet, but I would love to learn it. Those are the kinds of things that I believe will bring back our locals and Native Hawaiians, if there's something there that they'd like to expand on, again, to make better for themselves or whatever that they're mm-hmm. doing.
How many people are we talking about attend these events?
Okay, for hula, we got anywhere from 80 to 100 people a day, and this is during construction numbers. mm-hmm. As I understand it, before construction, they were up into the 300 mark. Ukulele, we have, I don't know, four classes, I believe, throughout the week. I can't remember what the exact one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have five classes. Mm-hmm. Each of the five classes has anywhere from 15 to 20 people. Lei making, 10 to 20 people. The kahili making lecture, which I probably can share with you, let's say augmenting a program. We plan to have a 100 kahili program. And what that means is our kahili instructor will now go out into the community and teach business organizations how to make kahili. Why is that important? Well, for businesses like OHA or DHHL or Punanalea or even the advertiser, let's say, if you wanted a kahili in your lobby, you have it, with the condition that you bring it up back for the grand opening. The last time that the Native Hawaiian community or any community has seen 100 kahili at one time was when a chief was born or had died. Well, we here celebrate Kele'i Pauahi. We want to rebirth her again. Manifested through 100 kahili throughout the grove, I think, is the best, a good way to start. So the program actually takes its fingers out into the community, educates and shares Hawaiian culture in a positive way, with the understanding of sharing back with the Royal Hawaiian, and then you can go ahead and keep them.
Is there an actual date scheduled for the...
We're looking at the first quarter of 07.
And what are you calling that event?
The grand opening.
Of the shopping center?
Of the Royal Hawaiian Shopping Center.
Do businesses and organizations know that they're able to make a kahili of their own or learn how?
We've already started, and on the island of Maui, the turnout has been fantastic.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, I bet you're going to get some calls after our interview then.
Yeah.
Maybe, can we walk down here and you can walk me
sure.
through again what you're doing?
Sure. Okay, so where would you like to begin?
Well, just tell me what it is we're looking at.
Okay. What we're looking at is a scaled-down model of the Royal Grove. We have Kalakaua Avenue, basically where the Grove was before.
The shopping center.
The shopping center on each side.
Right.
Currently, we have not named the buildings yet, but on the Waikiki end, we have Building B. On the Ewa end, we have Building A. The Grove is bifurcated into two parts, a male part, a female part, a Mauka side, a Makai side, a day side, a night side. This polarity is called palua, or duality. It is also one of the key elements in establishing pono, or balance. So the Mauka male side is everything vertical and upright, which where we plan to house the lively entertainment.
These would be palm trees.
Yep, neo coconut trees. And we're actually, the story is of Helu Moa. Chief Kakui Hewa was practicing in the lua ring right here, just makai of our grove. The chicken from Palolo came down and scratched in front of his foot one day. And he called the other chiefs over and said, here you plant the first neo tree, or coconut tree. From there, it's rumored that throughout Waikiki, they had in excess of 10,000. So what we plan to do here in the Grove is to try to bring that history back literally through a quote-unquote legend and say that this is what we've understood here before and this is how we plan to celebrate it.
So this will be like a daily lecture or tour?
Everything here is in the purpose and intention of educating our guests and sharing Hawaiian culture in a positive way. So, again, you have the male side and the female side. The female side, of course, we are placing our first statue of Keali Pauahi. On the back side, Ulu Vehi Vehi in the Grove, where it'd be softer plantings and softer water features, where our guests can find respite. And here, let's say we could have programs in Lomi Lomi, an massage for our guests that have been shopping at our mall all day, hopefully. but anyway, we are planning to have the Royal Grove extend back into a softer side.
And some wetland taro?
And some wetland taro. The water feature that you see here is actually going to be usable plantings and water. When I hear Hawaiian sense of place, I don't know why functionality and usefulness has divorced itself out of Hawaiian sense of place, but true Hawaiian sense of place is we use things not just for looks, but we use it because we need it. So within this water feature, this taro lo'i, if you will, we plan to plant taro, wetland taro, cut it or huli it when it's ready, harvest it, have our guests, teach our guests how to pound it to make poi, which they're free to take home and eat and enjoy. There's nothing better than freshly pounded poi. And what that does is it shares, again, the culture in a positive way, but it also gives us a chance to recirculate and recycle the taro on a timely basis the way it should be done.
And you'll be involved in teaching those classes?
Our whole team here will be involved in everything. Another thing with Hawaiian culture is no one man answers for Hawaiian culture. It is my intention to open it up to Native Hawaiian community for their thoughts. It is our kupuna, the elders that guide us and lead us. And so, you know, I welcome their mana'o, their wisdom.
This grove, in terms of acreage, can you...
Oh, I don't know what the grove acreage is.
Or maybe just yards, some sense for...
Let's see here. Is this 20, let's say 25.
I mean, it looks larger than the actual shopping center.
So let's say 10 times 25 feet. So about 250 feet deep, if that, give or take, 10 feet.
Mm-hmm. And then, and it's currently the site of a three-story bridge walkway?
Yeah, previously we had the three-story bridge bridging the two buildings. We've since taken that massive bridge out and replaced it with a very thin and elegant bridge, again, to open up the space more,
right,
and to get more light and wind throughout the whole space. Because, you know, we have to be conscientious of our neighbors, Makai of us, the Royal Hawaiian Hotel and the Sheraton Hotel. And we, you know, as good neighbors, we look forward to working with them as well.
And you said this male grove,
mm-hmm,
the trees are expected to be how tall?
Anywhere from 100 plus feet. I mean, I hope we can get them as tall as possible.
And there'll be a natural amphitheater?
Right. There'll be a soft berm for our guests to sit down and enjoy the entertainment along Kalakaua.
And then tell me more about the statue of the princess.
Yeah. I believe in all of KS Holdings, this is the first statue of Keali'i Pauahi. Our intention is to have our ali'i seated, as it was custom. If the ali'i sits, then we all can sit. And here we'll have her favorite tree, the tamarind tree, adjacent to her, where we will have storytelling and oratory customs, as I mentioned before. Keali'i Pauahi, of course, loved children, and we welcome the children to come back there as well.
Is there a reason there hasn't been a statue, or there doesn't
you know,
exist
I don't,
a statue?
I don't know the reason for that one. But all I know is I hope that, in fact, I know that we're doing good by placing her here in the grove.
That's marvelous. Can we go sit back
Sure.
down? So tell me, as a architect by training, in your new title, how kind of professionally and personally rewarding all of this feels, and just sort of, you know, those this different aspects of your training and background coming together?
I think that I've been really fortunate in my studies in Western architecture, and I give a lot of credit and much mana to learning the Western way. However, if we do design here in Hawaii, we have to be aware of Vahipana, which is the special place of Hawaii. We have greatness here in Waikiki because it started on greatness. It didn't just pop up. It wasn't because of a massive concrete building on Waikiki. If we are to say or discuss Hawaiian architecture and Hawaiian sense of place, it starts with the aina. It always has and it always will.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about modern architecture and your sense of what that means about, where do you put that in that term, Hawaiian sense of place, that we use all the time?
A lot of our architecture, and I'm not just including the Royal Hawaiian Shopping Center, which I think is fantastic. To me, that is local sense of place. It started, of course, with the Dickey style of the double pitched roofs.
Right.
You know, that's nice, and that's architecture, and I think a lot of people feel comfortable with that type of architecture. But I, in my studies and in my profession and in my study of the Native Hawaiian culture, I did not see anything saying 512, 812 double pitch roofs with plaster is Hawaiian at all. If you do a quick, careful study of our heiau on the islands, I think you'll have a better understanding of inherent mana, of that energy of that area. And as architects or developers and or designers or as even people, it is our duty to respectfully bring up that inherent mana in a positive way. Recognize where you are, know where you are, and take pride in where you are. Every square inch of Hawaiʻi is important, no doubt. But we here at the Royal Hawaiian are very fortunate that it's well documented that this area was just for chiefs, a place where commoners could not even step on. Now, taking that history, that doesn't mean that we should say no to our guests, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't educate them of where they are and to hold themselves, our staff, our management, our people, with dignity and respect.
Now, that's I asked you that before, and maybe I wasn't quite specific enough. I'm interested just as, you know, how do you go about, in your position, sort of, I don't want to say changing the culture, but, you know, adjusting it a little bit, just sort of as an organization. I mean, what tools do you use to communicate? What, how do you go about doing that in a job that didn't exist before?
Yeah. Well, interesting enough, in the study of architecture, no offense to my colleagues, but architecture, as it relates to Hawaiian sense of place, the built environment has nothing to do with it. Hawaiian sense of place is about people. So how that dovetails into my job, Director of Cultural Affairs, is that the word affairs has that notion of relationship. And it is a relationship in a Hawaiian way that I think we can begin to reinvestigate, because I think there's a lot of merit. There have been a lot of books managing with aloha. Peter Apo is doing a fantastic job of Nami Aho Kipa or hospitality programs. But now it's time to put the, you know, put it into practice. How we discuss and hold meetings, let's say. There's a protocol. One shouldn't talk over another. Or we should give each other ample time to speak and do more listening. I think the hardest skill in any conversation is listening first, which is probably well-grained in me from the first job that I had, because there was no one around me. It was in a dark basement. I did a lot of time listening to myself, and that's okay, because listening is probably a finer art than talking. Anybody can talk, but not everybody can truly listen.
I mean, how many people is it that you're actually talking about that are in the staff and management that you're spreading this message to?
Well, we've just started. We have of course, the marketing department, the operations, and now with my department, the cultural department. Also, we have the development side.
Twelve people.
So you have staff meetings, you have newsletters.
Yep, we're beginning to have them. And one of the ideas that we're revisiting is, of course, I'm calling them the barbecue Fridays, when the staff just goes right out here, has a potluck, and we discuss things beyond work. Mm. We talk about our personal mm-hmm. things. It helps establish, you know, where we're coming from. Because let's face it, not everybody sees the way I do from a Hawaiian and, of course, a Lua standpoint. Mm-hmm. But I think through programs like that, we learn tolerance, and we learn, you know, how to deal with each other a little better.
What do you hope the visitor experience, and I mean that meaning the tourists as well as a local resident who comes to enjoy a program, what do you hope they walk away with in the future that's maybe different from today or prior to your start in your job?
Well, we have luxury stores here. That's not a mystery to anyone. We do have a lot of high-end stores here. If we're going to call ourselves the Royal Hawaiian Shopping Center, I'd personally like our guests, whoever they may be, visitor or local or Hawaiian, Native Hawaiian, to feel royal. Hmm. To walk away feeling that their experience was royal, not only in the shops that they went to, but the educational opportunities or the way that someone said aloha to them, it doesn't matter. We have a lot of foot traffic going to the Royal Hawaiian Shopping Center, and I personally believe that not everybody has to be a buyer, and that's okay. But I do want us to share aloha in a royal way.
Mm-hmm. I know Kamehameha Schools is working on sort of getting its message out. I personally got a call from SMS Research, you know. They promised it was going to be a 5-minute questionnaire. It lasted about 30 minutes because I was asking questions too. But clearly, the both from sort of personal relations I have at Kamehameha, but also just from my experience, is that Kamehameha is trying to inform people about, did you know all these other things that we do, as well as, you know, what would you like to see, what you know, sort of the vision questions and sort of the impression questions. My question for you is where do you see yourself in sort of this emphasis on Kamehameha to sort of spread its message a little beyond the campus and sort of the normal constituency?
Well, I only hope to serve Native Hawaiian children with dignity and respect. I love Native Hawaiian children. I love Native Hawaiians. I'm intimately in love with my Native Hawaiian people. Therefore, my hope is that through tons of hours of listening and making the right decisions with people, we understand that at the end of the day, this is for Native Hawaiian children. And to me, it keeps my chin up, makes me come to work smiling every mm-hmm. day. So, you know, I really do believe that. And if you ask anybody about what my intentions are, you know, I think you'd get the same answer. Part of folding in the Kamehameha School constituent here at the Royal Hawaiian is that our programs are going to need docents. Hmm. Who better to tell our history or of our plants or whatever that we're doing than our Native children? They learn and they can pass it on. And it's mixed in with a business atmosphere. So maybe it's not true culture that they're into. Maybe it's marketing. Maybe it's operations. Maybe it's development. Whatever it is, KS as a landowner has the opportunities to expose those to those children if they so choose to.
Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm getting at is you will be working in a very public way of sort of, even though the visitor might not connect what the activity with the landowner, with Kamehameha Schools and like that. But you, in fact, you are sort of a very public voice for the trust and the schools and whatnot. And
I've been blessed with that honor, yes.
So tell me a little bit about what you, when you began studying architecture, what was sort of your vision of what your career was going to be like, and how did it sort of come back around to what you're doing now?
Well,
I'm always interested in people who kind of make a difference.
Sure, sure. Well, when you're studying architecture, you have grand ideas of designing the next Guggenheim Museum, of course. You know, you're coming out of high school, you get into a school of architecture, and you have, you know, these dreams. However, upon my mother's death, which was mid-college, I was 20, you know, it really forced me to have more time to reflect on really what's important in my life. And sometimes chasing those things that you want so bad, that may work for some people, but in my case, as I started the interview, Almakua, or spiritualness, has guided me on the right path to meet the right people at the right time. And the change over to festival companies to, one, help with the development efforts as they're still ongoing, is a fantastic opportunity to see it from the developer's eyes and the owner's standpoint.
Because of your training?
Because of my training.
Right.
But because of my spirituality and my beliefs and my understanding in Hawaiian culture, it dovetails into the KS mission that you're aware of now, of expanding their educational opportunities with everyone.
So. How much of a hand did you have in the the Grove and
I believe everybody had an equal hand in the
Grove. Am I asking you to be immodest?
Yeah, that's an uncomfortable spot for me, simply because I firmly believe that we're all just grains of sand. That's right.
But it must be very nice to come at a time when the project is not yet finished. In other words, you kind of get transplanted into something without, that's the way it is, right? So I hear what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else we'd like to talk about, Wes?
Sorry.
It's okay. I turned mine off.
Yeah, sorry.
That's right. Do you need to take it?
No, I forgot. We do have a website, and we're currently working on having our website link up to our cultural programs.
I'm sorry, who's we?
We, Festival Companies.
Okay. What's that URL? URL.
What's the URL? Oh, it's not ready yet, though, right?
It's royalhawaiianshoppingcenter.com. www.royalhawaiianshoppingcenter.com. We're in its redeveloping phase right now, but it has the most current, up-to-date Hawaiian activities, events. So hopefully that's how we're going to tie it in with KS.
Yeah. But this will be on our website, and if I believe if you click on it, there's a description of it. Where is it going to be? What time? You know.
How do people currently get this information?
Excuse me. Jeez. Go ahead.
At the info desk and then downstairs, and then you can also download that from the website.
Right, but I mean, pre-website, they sort of had to just pick it up around in Waikiki?
Yeah, we have it distributed over through, so we sent out the event schedule through all the media, through all the publications.
Okay.
It's quite an effort.
So that's new, the website?
The website is new.
What else might people find on that?
We have revitalization updates. You can download our latest newsletter. We have construction photos. We also have general information, our shopping directory, restaurant directory. And then hopefully we're going to have it available so we can, again, link it through to Kamehameha Schools and have the Hawaiian Dictionary, for instance.
Oh.
So it just kind of make it more cultural, more of an experience like a website versus just commercialized.
So are you hoping that visitors from outside Hawaii look at that beforehand and mm-hmm. sort of look forward to these activities rather than just going, oh, gee, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And obviously you're hoping that attendance goes up in some of the programs?
Of course. The more the merrier.
Okay. Great.